Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. You know what this is? Wow, this is Bob Kincaid. I am Bob Kincaid. This is a radio show. This is, in particular, yeah, it's Groundhog Day. This is a birthday show. 2 years. 2 years now. February the 2nd, 2004, Head On with Bob Kincaid premiered in Beckley. At the fifth smallest radio market in the entire United States. And in that short 2 years, we have grown to be a worldwide leader in progressive liberal talk. 2 years ago, a month and 2 days before even the birth of Air America, we had Head On with Bob Kincaid. So that's pretty cool, don't you think? I do.
I do.
Agnes does. Now, Agnes hasn't been producing the thing but I've been at this for 2 years now. And, you know, I was doing a little bit here and there prior to this, but no, this is the 2 year anniversary. Head On premiered on Groundhog Day 2004. How could you forget that? I'll tell you, I would have forgotten it. Had it not been for running that sound clip of the Right Honorable Charles Grassley prattling on the floor of the Senate yesterday,
I think it's what they called their Groundhog's Day, you know, dear hey. And, well, there's a movie with that hep cat Bill Murray called Groundhog's Day.
If it hadn't been for all that, I would have forgotten. But, yeah, February the 2nd, 2004, we lit this candle. And it is burning brightly. So, there is an abundance of stuff to go into this evening. In case anybody is wondering, Governor Manchin here in the state of West Virginia said yesterday, and we talked about it a little bit on the program, he said yesterday that he wanted coal production in this state stopped. I think the quote the words he used were, not another lump of coal will be mined until we have had a full evaluation of the safety status of coal mining in West Virginia. Guess what? Massey Energy and, you know, that filthy Don Blankenstein and International Coal Group, which is largely staffed with a bunch of Blankenswine's minions, collectively did this to Governor Manchin. Production didn't stop. It didn't even slow down. They had a little meeting before the shifts went in and said, y'all be careful in there, would you? We don't want to pay no workers' comp or nothing. And get on in there. Time's a-wasting. That was it. And, of course, Bill Rainey, who is this slippery eel-like individual who is the head of the West Virginia Coal Association. That's the coal bosses group. That's their lobby. You know, those are the guys that pass out the $100 handshakes, if you will. He said,
we think it's a lovely idea. We think that we must certainly be safe, and we will abide by the governor's wishes. What the hell am I talking about? We're going to keep mining coal, baby. We don't give a damn who dies.
So, I admired Governor Manchin for his effort in that regard, and I hope he knows now where his bread's buttered. Workers elected Joe Manchin. People who earn their living by the sweat of their brow elected Joe Manchin. Coal companies don't get to vote, except with their checkbooks. but it was working people who went to the polls and put him in, and it's working people who are looking to him now. And he seems to be listening, and I give praise where praise is due. He seems to be listening, and I hope he will get tough with these murderous thugs that run these non-union outfits in West Virginia. That, of course, is what we really need. You know, Mike Caputo is a, and you know, I know not everybody's interested in the doings of West Virginia, but so often, you know, we, like I've said before, we don't have the weirdo militia units and the truly bizarro things that you have going on in other states. We're just kind of middle of the road. Leave us alone. Let us live our lives. And you can this state is a little microcosm of the rest of the country. So, sometimes I think you might like to know what's going on. And Mike Caputo is a member of our legislature. He stood up today and said for far too long that for far too long, West Virginia's coal companies have been the biggest provider of widows and orphans in this state. And he is so correct. So I sincerely hope that now that the light has gone on, Governor Manchin will see whose side he needs to be on. The coal companies don't need his help. God knows they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. They don't care about human lives. If they still had mules drawing carts out of the mines, they would, as they did back then, care more about the mules than they did about the human beings. So Governor Manchin, bless your heart for what you said and did yesterday. I hope you understand now what you're up against with these thugs in the coal business. I sincerely do. But beyond that, there's a jillion other things. Did you catch this tempest in a teapot that the right-wing media is trying to stir up? And by the right-wing media, I mean the Washington Post. I mean the New York Times, I mean Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, virtually every media outlet in the country. This business with the editorial cartoonist Tolles and his editorial cartoon that ran, yesterday? It's got a soldier who is obviously a quadruple amputee, all bandaged up, sitting in a bed with Dr. Rumsfeld standing next to him with a chart and a clipboard and a pen, and Dr. Rumsfeld says, "I'm listing your condition as battle-hardened." And down in the lower margin, there's that, you know, Tolles does that, a little extra bit of dialogue. "I'm prescribing that you be stretched thin. We don't define that as torture." See, Agnes?
Oh, Christ.
Now, are you offended by that cartoon? Yeah, you're offended by what Rumsfeld is doing.
Yeah.
You're offended by what George Bush is doing.
That's called political satire.
It is political. Well, no, because a bunch of George Bush's toady punk generals, and I'll say that, toady punk generals, people like Peter Pace, they wrote a letter. They wrote a very sharp, stinging letter to Mr. Tolles. They don't like him drawing cartoons like that. This is what they said. Quote, "We believe you and Mr. This was to the editor of the Washington Post. "We believe you and Mr. Tolles have done a disservice to your readers and your paper's reputation by using such a callous depiction of those who have volunteered to defend this nation and as a result have suffered traumatic and life-altering wounds." Bug spray to you, Peter Pace. You see, this has nothing to do with that. There is no way, okay? There is no way, there is no humanly possible way. Agnes, you see the cartoon. A human being cannot look like that. It barely looks like a human being at all. I mean, this is art. Frankly, Tolles' ability to do artwork and depict the human form is good when it wants to be and not so good at other times. And in this particular time, he hasn't depicted much of a human being in the person laying in that bed. It is an abstraction, as it were, and as such, cannot be
cannot be confused with being a depiction of any particular individual. This is the American military laying in the bed, but I don't have to tell you that. I'm talking to liberals, progressive Democrats. I'm talking to intelligent people, not a bunch of damn ditto heads. Yeah, Rush, you're absolutely right. Get another pill. No, that's not who I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to the intelligent people. But, no, so we get this letter. You get the, what, yes, dear?
Well, the thing of it is it doesn't even look like Rummy.
Oh, no, it does look like Rummy. It
no,
absolutely
no, he
looks
actually
like
looks
Rummy.
Better than Rummy. But, no.
Well, it looks like a cross between Rummy and Frankenstein.
I still have a picture of Tricky Dick Nixon sticking his fingers up in the air hollering, you know, I'm not a crook. I didn't hear them.
I am not a crook.
Yeah, I didn't hear him griping about that one.
Well, sure they did. They moaned to high heaven. But the fact of the matter is, this... these are supposedly... I don't know anymore. I don't know what it takes to get to be a general in the United States military anymore. If you can't tell an editorial cartoon from a depiction of a real maimed, mutilated soldier, who incidentally was maimed on your orders, you jerk, what does it take to get to be a general? Long tongue, willing to lick boots? That's as far as I... We believe you owe the men and women and their families who selflessly serve our country the decency not to make light of their tremendous physical sacrifice. Nobody was making fun of their sacrifices, damn it! How stupid is General Peter Pace? God, I wish I could ask him myself. Sir, how damn dumb are you? Who told you to do this? Did you get a note from Dear Leader telling you to complain about this? Do you understand what this... I did it again. I promised I wouldn't. I gotta learn not to. I'm sorry. But you do understand what this means. This means not only can we not see footage of the babies and the little children and the pregnant mothers that we have burned alive and slaughtered and killed in Iraq. We can't see that, no sir. And we can't see the soldiers who have been blown into their constituent parts as a result of George Bush's failed imperial policies in the Middle East. We can't see that. Guess what we can't see? What else we can't see? We can't see the flag-draped coffins coming off of the C-130 cargo planes at Dover, Delaware. And we can't see them being delivered in cardboard boxes on forklifts to their grieving families. We can't see that. And now we can't see a cartoon! A cartoon, for Christ Almighty! We can't see a cartoon that represents the hell and damnation that has been unleashed on military families in these United States. We can't see a cartoon. Do you understand what a... Oops, sorry. God, I read this thing this morning and I was in pretty much the same state that I am now. We are living in George Bush's America, and in George Bush's America, by God, you cannot see a cartoon that depicts a maimed soldier. How low have we sunken? Matthew Brady shocked an entire nation when he took his fancy newfangled camera box to the fields near Sharpsburg, Maryland. And he took photographs of the grotesqueries of the war between the states in all its myriad forms, and he put them on display in his shop window in New York City. And for the first time, the people of the North understood what bloody business they had sent their immigrant Irish neighbors and their German neighbors into. No more the pretty uniforms, instead blasted corpses laying across the ground piece by piece by piece. And in World War I we saw the gassed corpses. And World War II we saw the effects of war. Vietnam was brought right into our living rooms. But in George Bush's world, war is at best a video game discussed at great distance by reporters inside the green zone.
War is a noble, patriotic undertaking that is noble and patriotic for kids in East L.A. and South Central L.A. and the Bronx and the South Side of Boston and from out in the rural fields of Alabama and the hills and hollers of West Virginia. For them, it's a noble undertaking, but by God, there's no nobility in it for a member of for the sons of the Senate or the House of Representatives or, God knows, Jenna and Barbara, those silly little twits. It's not noble for them. To see this complaint coming as it does on a day after Cindy Sheehan, the mother of one of these slaughtered soldiers, what is it? Oh, yeah. We believe you owe our country the decency not to make light of their tremendous physical sacrifices. What in the hell was George Bush and the Congress of the United States doing when they dragged Cindy Sheehan out of the gallery of the House of Representatives two nights ago, but making light of her loss? What in the hell has happened? Rush, Hannity, O'Reilly. What did that filthy Glenn Beck, he called her a prostitute. And I have to turn on my computer and go to read my online Washington Post this morning and find out that General Peter Pace is saying that an editorial cartoonist is dishonoring our wounded and our maimed in a war that George Bush started? I thought drugs were illegal in the military, but it's pretty obvious that Peter Pace is on acid. Because when you can sit still and watch a grieving mother who still isn't over it, dragged, physically dragged, you know, with a Capitol Police officer come running down the steps in the gallery, protester, protester, they did that. They yelled, protester, when Cindy Sheehan unzipped her damn hoodie. I don't know if they thought she was going to do the dance of the seven veils or protester, and they dragged her out, and she's got the bruises and the muscle spasms to prove it. And today they apologized. We're sorry. Oh, we didn't mean to drag you out like some common criminal. We're sorry. You see, And a cartoon engenders the ire of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The Joint Chiefs of Staff who have sat idly by when the Marine Corps' own study said that more body armor would have saved 80% of the people who have died in the filthy, stinking sands of Iraq. But those Joint Chiefs are the same Joint Chiefs who are too cowed and too afraid of George W. Caligula to say, sir, we gotta give them body armor. They're too chicken. They are cowards. The Joint Cowards of Staff, led by the coward in chief. Do you think that Peter Pace would have the guts for 15 seconds to go into Al Anbar province where his Marines are? Not on your life, and damn sure not on his. Now, the remarks in the cartoon, they came from, Rumsfeld the other day. He rejected the warnings of the Pentagon, the study they sponsored, that the Army is at risk of being broken by the Iraq War. And he said the military is, this is a quote, battle-hardened, you know, with known gnomes and unknown gnomes and garden gnomes. They're battle-hardened. He said, they're an enormously capable force. Well, that's why the cartoon has Dr. Rumsfeld saying, I'm listing your condition as battle-hardened on a young man with no arms and no legs. I'm prescribing that you be stretched thin. We don't define that as torture. Of course, you understand what that means. They don't define anything as torture. And so, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Joint Cowards of Staff, can't be, well, you know, we can't have them let this just go by. Because we can't have cartoon depictions of maimed soldiers. My God, if Tom Tolles had depicted this soldier as being dead, why, that great hero, Peter Pace, might have just come and shot him on the spot. Because we are not allowed to see our dead. We're not allowed to honor our dead, or some media giant like Sinclair will refuse to run the program like they did a year or so ago. We play canned, digitized versions of Taps at veterans' funerals now because the Army doesn't have enough buglers. We can, however, buy digital media players from Halliburton at only a slightly substantial markup over wholesale. Honest to God, I don't know what got into this country. I wouldn't let George Bush run a pay toilet, let alone a war. And he's thinking about going and killing Iran? Wow. Best get on the stick. Best be paying attention. Because there's a... Well... No, you know what's coming. This is no time for shrinking violets. This is tragedy. I mean, you know, once in a while, it's good just to step back and ask yourself, what would Thomas Jefferson, you know, never mind what would Jesus do, what would Thomas Jefferson do? What would Thomas Jefferson do? Someone asked him if he would rather have, what was it, it was a choice between a free press and a free something else, and he said, I would always choose the free press. Now, what would Thomas Jefferson think of Peter Pace's complaint about a cartoon? A cartoon. How much do we pay the Joint Chiefs of Staff to sit around complaining about cartoons? We have a little dust up going in Iraq. Did he really need to spend that however much time it spent for him to dictate that to his secretary, then read the first draft, then correct that, and send it the second draft, and do a third draft, and finally, you know, sign it? Don't they have anything better to do? I don't know. Apparently not. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? Where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. Stepped in the middle. Going forward.
if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
So many bad habits to break myself of. I'm just grateful I don't have Rush's OxyContin problem. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Let's see. The phone number. Yeah, the phone number. 877-443-2366. That's 877, the number for Head On. And email is very easy, too. bob@headonradio.com. We've gotten a couple of emails in the past few minutes. One from our friend Joseph in Iowa. He says, so I'm listening to your program tonight, and you mentioned that this is your second anniversary. Congratulations on that. May you have many more, and perhaps when the real progressives take our country back, you'll be able to get some sort of syndication if that's what you want. It's what we want. Thanks, Joseph. He says, I'm a proud Iowan and heard your comment about Grassley. As far as I'm concerned, he's ashamed of this great state, and a lot of us can't wait until he retires. He's as old as dirt. No, that's Senator Byrd. He's as old as dirt, and that day may happen sooner rather than later. Anyway, keep up the great work and hope you have many more years of broadcasting. Liberally true blue. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. And I keep talking about it, and I become convinced more and more of my the correctness of my position on this. What we are doing, you know, we do it a few thousand at a time here. Mike Malloy's doing it. Randy Rhodes is doing it. The Young Turks are doing it. It's happening all over this country. We are busting out of the ghetto. I firmly believe that all of those graphics, even the funny ones, you know, you remember the United States of Jesus Land that went around right after the November 2004 elections that showed how the United States and then Jesus Land because of the so-called religious voters and showed all the red states. I'm almost convinced that every last one of those kind of graphics came out of Republican think tanks and graphic shops and people. Because it is a conscious effort, especially the so-called red states. You know, they call my West Virginia, they call a red state because we had the sublime ignorance and patent stupidity to vote for that manimal in the White House. That animal-human hybrid, George Bush, the chimposter. The chimp in chief. We had the abject stupidity to vote for him twice, and suddenly we're a red state? My God in heaven, we got a Democratic governor, we got two Democratic senators, Dino. We got two out of three members of our congressional delegation are Democrats. The House of Delegates is Democrat-controlled, as is the Senate. In varying degrees of Democratness, because being Democrats, we run the full gamut. We don't march goose step like the Republican Party does, where you have to sign on for the corporatist agenda, you have to sign on for the right-wing weirdo agenda, you have to sign on for the guns before butter agenda, you have to sign on for the onward Christian soldiers right-wing religion and industry agenda. We're not like that. You know, there's a sliding scale of Democrat-ness, if you want to talk about platonic ideals. But because we make one, two stupid mistakes in West Virginia, you're a red state. The hell we are. We're not even pink. We generally don't even like Republicans here. You know, every now and then, we'll have a county here and there go brain dead and elect somebody like Russ Weeks-minded in Raleigh County. You know, I wish I had time to devote, for the national and the international audience, what a moron Russ Weeks is. This is a guy, it was his freshman Senate term last year before maybe, and spent last legislative term trying to get the state of West Virginia to paint the Ten Commandments on every public building, but every public building and every private building also had to have a smoking room. I'm a smoker, okay, but, you know, I got enough common courtesy not to try to poison my fellow non-smokers. But that's just me. But yeah, so we go a little bit insane, and we elect Republican weirdos here and there. You know, down in Kanawha County, which is the home of the state capital of West Virginia, they elect a senator year in and year out who calls himself Family Values, who just walked out on wife number three while she was 6 months pregnant. I'm guessing it's for comic relief. But this whole idea that, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, red states, you know, you're gonna define a state by a presidential ballot mistake? I don't think so. So, you know, taking the country back may not be nearly as complicated or difficult as we might think. Now, on this program, I'm not going to be very good at convincing Republicans to vote for Democrats because I'm pretty pissed off at them, you know, to begin with. You know, I read some employment data. You know, Dear Leader talked about all the new jobs created. You know what the majority of the new jobs created were? No kidding, that he was talking about bartenders and waitresses. That was his economic expansion. bartenders, and waitresses. And so I've still got a bone to pick with the people who are who still believe in this mad, mad fool. So, you know, probably I'm not going to be so good at bringing the moderate Republicans over, but then again, I don't believe there's any such thing as a moderate Republican, because, you know, you got to swear the loyalty oath. Really, all that laundry list that I just gave you, all that crap you have to sign on for to be a Republican, you really do have to sign on for it. Now, I have no idea what the secret lodge high sign is or the secret handshake to be a Republican is, but I'm pretty sure there is one. Because they come out in droves, time after time after time. And the new slur for liberals and progressives, they know that we're taking our name back. They know that we're proud of being liberals, that we're proud of being progressives. But because, well, you know, other people are figuring out liberal, like I said, comes from the same word in the Latin language as the word freedom does. So now what are they going to call us? That's right.
Isolationists. You're isolationists. We cannot retreat from the world.
No kidding. No, guess we got to live in it. Even if your corporate buddies are poisoning the hell out of it, George. Damn it, we got to live in it. We'd like to send you to Mars. To the moon, George, to the moon. But we're stuck with you for 3 more years. Ow. So that's the, you know, that's the news. You're an isolationist.
You don't want to blow up other countries. You're an isolationist. Nah.
Now, I mentioned in the first half hour the business with Cindy Sheehan. Charges have been dropped. And here was the official statement.
While officers acted in a manner consistent with the rules of decorum enforced by the department in the House Gallery for years, neither Ms. Sheehan's manner of dress or initial conduct warranted law enforcement intervention.
Classic case of closing the barn door after the horse is gone. What we didn't get to see during the State of the Union, what none of America had to see during the State of the Union, was Cindy Sheehan's heartbroken face. Watching George Bush lie his dead soul off for an hour. So it doesn't, it's the same for old TV, you know, TV Land fans. Perry Mason, or maybe Matlock. When did you stop beating your wife? I object. Your Honor, I withdraw the question. This is that. This is, well, closing the barn door after the horse is gone. The jury hears the question, and it's in their mind. You know, the court reporter will strike that question from the record. Yeah, say it again. Burn it into the jury's brains a little bit more, Your Honor. This is what's going on with this apology. They knew when they dragged her out that they were doing wrong. Why do you think that the initial lies were spread about that she was getting ready to unfurl a banner? AP said that. CNN, I believe, said that. She was removed from the House Gallery because she was preparing to unfurl a protest banner. There was no such thing anywhere nearby. There was no such thing anywhere, near nor far, not in a box, not with a fox, not in the rain, not in the train. No. It was just an outright lie that made convenient the moment so that they could make sure that no television camera would show Cindy Sheehan, in her grief, attending the raft of lies passed off to the American people as compliance with a constitutional provision that declares that the president shall from time to time deliver unto the Congress a statement regarding the well-being of the Union. While officers acted in a manner consistent with the rules of decorum, really, it's consistent with the rules of decorum of the Capitol Police to drag a grieving mother away in handcuffs for a nonviolent act? Really? Meanwhile, there's another T-shirt being worn by a Republican congresswoman's wife, and they just tap her lightly on the shoulder. Ma'am, we're sorry. Could you come with us, please? Okay, come on. Thank you. No handcuffs, no bruises, no muscle spasms, no dragging. Now, if you can make that mean something besides what it so obviously means to me, you're either more analytical or deluded than I am. So that's all there, and it's certainly open season for your commentary. And again, the statement that he made to the people of Iran. The thing that seems to still be hanging in the national consciousness is this business about animal hybrid cloning. And it sounded so stupid coming from... Well, what doesn't sound stupid coming from George Bush? It sounded so stupid, though, that all we could do initially was laugh. And I talked a little bit about last night about some of the ideas that our good friend Ben Birch had put forward. And now it becomes even more clear what it is that George Bush is after. This is one of those things that will drive the lovely Agnes absolutely crazy. This comes from scienceblogs.com/Pharyngula, Pharyngula. Title, President Panders to Anti-Manimal Lobby, Dr. Moreau Flees Country in Rage. And the quote is, "Tonight, I ask you to pass legislation to prohibit the most egregious abuses of medical research, human cloning in all its forms, creating or implanting embryos for experiments, creating human-animal hybrids, and buying, selling, or patenting human embryos." That's what he said. And the writer, the author of this science blog, she's in the aspirin bottle. The writer of this blog says, guess what? Creating chimeras is legitimate and useful scientific research. It's really happening. Of course, it isn't with the intent of creating monstrous half-animal, half-human slaves or something evil like that, and scientists are well aware, or should be, of the ethical concerns, and it's the topic of ongoing debate. Let's consider one recent example of such an experiment. Remember, we can't have stem cell research in America because it violates the tenets of the weirdos who back George Bush. But this writer, this blogger writes, Down syndrome, and you know what it is a very common genetic disorder caused by the presence of an extra chromosome 21. That kind of genetic insult causes a constellation of problems, mild to moderate mental retardation, heart defects, and weakened immune systems, and various superficial abnormalities. It's also a viable defect and produces walking, talking, interacting human beings who are loved by their friends and families who would really like to be able to do something about those lifespan-reducing health problems. We would love to have an animal model of Down syndrome so that, for example, we could figure out exactly what gene overdose is causing the immune system problems or the heart defects and develop better treatments for them. So what scientists have been doing is inserting human genes into mice to produce similar genetic overdoses in their development. As I reported before, the blogger writes, there have been partial insertions, but now a team of researchers has inserted a complete human chromosome 21 into mouse embryonic stem cells, and from those generated a line of aneuploid mice that have many of the symptoms of Down syndrome, including the heart defects. They also have problems in spatial learning and memory that have been traced back to defects in long-term potentiation in the central nervous system. These mice are a tool to help us understand a debilitating human problem. George W. Bush would like to make them illegal. He's trusting that everyone will think he is banning monstrous crimes against nature, but what he's really doing is targeting, and God, these monsters are so good at it, what he's really doing is targeting the weak and the ill, blocking useful avenues of research that are specifically designed to help us understand human afflictions. His message isn't, we aren't going to let the mad scientists make monsters. His message is, we aren't going to let the doctors help those retards. Once again, the ignorance and the bigotry of the religious right wins out over reason and humanitarianism, and the blogger says, and I agree, I think I know who the real pigmen are. scienceblogs.com/pharyngula. Pharyngula. I'm no scientist, but I understand the concept. We have brilliant people in the audience of this program who do understand the concept and who know very, very well the horror that George Bush is trying to unleash on another generation. So oftentimes I've noted with the Iraq War and the sense of vengeance and revenge that is in, that he has engendered there, that there are children yet unborn and even undreamt of who will pay the price for his vicious and bloody attack on a people who never raised a hand against him. But it isn't just across oceans. It isn't just on foreign shores. It isn't just on the bloody and stinking sands of a war-ravaged Iraq or the soon-to-be war-ravaged Iran. It isn't just there. This man, you must understand, makes... He doesn't just make war in the present. Sunshine, he makes war on the future. Because he doesn't believe that there necessarily will be a future. This crazy man believes that some deity is going to come down out of the clouds and snap him up in the wink of an eye and take him home and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, maybe among the wingnuts, but I'm pretty sure that not within the sound of my voice to any of the normal people is there anyone who thinks that Jesus Christ or Yeshua or Muhammad or Buddha or Lao Tzu or any holy man would think for one instance that George Bush was doing anything other than the work of his master Satan. What else can you say about a human being than that he is satanic when he makes war on the future of children who do not... Pro-life? Oh, my aching back. Pro-life? What kind of life? This man made an announcement in a cryptic fashion in his State of the Union address that said that in the future there will be more Down syndrome babies, when in fact science might be able to develop therapies, genetic-based therapies, that would make Down syndrome as much a thing of the past as smallpox or polio is. That is how serious this is. If George
Bush had been president at the time that the polio vaccine was being developed, polio would still be ravaging the United States of America and, yea, verily, the entire world. Because some religious weirdos would tell him that God wanted people to have polio. Just like religious weirdos have told him that God wants Down syndrome babies. This is the gravity of the of what we face with George Bush. This is not some sort of mere political disagreement where perhaps we can reach across the aisle and meet in the middle and... No. This is literally a fight for the future of our children. This is a question as to whether this nation will tolerate suffering. Suffering has come easy through the history of the United States. But will we let it come easy in our future when we have at our fingertips' reach the literal ability to bring some of it to a close, to a halt? That is the question that America must answer. Will we promote suffering? Or will we promote healing? And to promote healing, George Bush must leave office. I'm Bob Kincaid. She's up to the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. You're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend.
the Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Fourth Estate Radio. Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member. Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Did it again. Dadgummit. 6 minutes after the hour. You just, well, the phone number. Area. No, no, not area code. 877, the number 4, head on. We're kind of addled here because we had to find my bottle of root beer. It wasn't in its usual location. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. You know, just the facts. And, well, you know, the budget reconciliation bill is under consideration. I received this in the email, an action flash from the West Virginia AFL-CIO, dated this evening. It's a little reminder about the House's action on the budget reconciliation bill. You know, that thing passed 216 to 214. 216 to 214. Had it been a tie, well, it's not like baseball and the tie goes to the runner. Ties don't pass. Takes a majority vote. Guess who slipped the shiv to the entire nation? You know, it's a little embarrassing, these things. You know, had it not been for our 5 electoral votes, Florida wouldn't have mattered in 2000, and George Bush would be back talking to the cows and milking stallions and cutting brush in Crawford. Well, we did it again. Of course, you probably know that. Shelley Moore Capito. Shelley Moore, never mind the last name. She's Arch Moore's daughter, and the apple falleth not far from the tree. She was the one who slipped the shiv in the nation's back with this horrific, cruel, mean-spirited, ugly House budget reconciliation bill. The vote was 216 to 214. Congressman Nick Rahal of West Virginia, he voted no. Congressman Alan Mollahan of West Virginia, he voted no. Because it was bad not only for West Virginia, but for the entire nation. But Shelley Moore, Arch Moore in a bad wig, Shelley Moore, she put her knee pads on and did for George Bush what Monica did for Bill with regard to this budget. But you see, Shelley Moore is little more than a lickspittle. She does what George Bush tells her. She, with the exception of only one other member of Congress, she got more dirty money from Tom DeLay. Some of it, arguably even Jack Abramoff money. She got more of that filthy money from Tom DeLay than any other member of the House save one. She has no loyalties to West Virginia. She has loyalties to party. And she has dreams of greatness, but she couldn't quite work up the courage to run against an 87-year-old man who can barely speak on the stump. But that's the Republican way. But just as a reminder, so folks, especially in West Virginia, can know what Shelley Moore has done to the nation, the House of Representatives Budget Reconciliation Bill cut Medicare, you know, health care for the greatest generation, the elderly, cuts health care by $6.4 billion. And it raises premiums to all beneficiaries and freezes payments to home health care providers. Oh, that's going to work real well. Then there's Medicaid. $4.8 billion slashed from Medicaid. And it raises copays for prescription drugs and ER visits, and it makes it harder to get into nursing homes by virtue of tightened asset transfer rules. I talked about this some long while back. This is the part where George Bush wants to get his, literally, get the federal government's hands on the family farm. the one that's been worked for three or four or six generations in some places in this country. It certainly is that way up the hills and hollers here in West Virginia. 65,000 recipients of Medicaid will lose coverage, period. 13 million recipients will pay higher costs, while private Medicaid insurers will save $22 billion with a B, dollars, over the next 10 years. That's $2.2 billion a year. Nice work if you can get it. And you wonder why the insurance industry and the banking industry funnels so much filthy political lucre into Republican campaign coffers. Interest rates go up on student loans. Lender subsidies get cut. Student loan fees from the federal government go up $11.9 billion. And finally, the beauty of it all, child support enforcement. All that talk from all those tough Republicans about we're going after the deadbeat dads. Well, that turned out to be illusory at best. Because it's not, the funding doesn't get cut for child support enforcement. It gets eliminated. Eliminated. Administration of Child Support Enforcement gets eliminated. And all of that was brought to you by Shelley Moore. You know, I don't... Well, never mind. All of that against the backdrop Tuesday night of Dear Leader calling for making the tax cuts permanent. Permanent. Forever. Grover Norquist, remember Grover Norquist? We're going to starve the federal government until it's so weak that we can drown it in a bathtub. Kind of makes you proud, doesn't it not? Not. And in the midst of all this, I don't know, a little wandering off the plantation. But this guy wandered off the plantation not too long back and wandered right back onto it again. This out of the Columbus Dispatch over in our neighbor state, Ohio. Extending tax cuts that President Bush wants to make permanent would place an immoral burden on future generations of Americans, a defiant... Ooh, it was defiant. Well... Senator George Voinovich of Ohio warned yesterday. He says it's time to put the tax cut medicine back on the shelf. And he pointed out that the federal government spends billions to stabilize Iraq, which was stable before we tried to kill it, protect the country against terrorism, and rebuild the hurricane-ravaged Gulf Coast. Quote, we've got to make some tough choices around here. This will not be politically easy, as I understand, he said. The simple, undeniable fact is that we can't have it all. That's the problem with the tax cuts. We not only can't have it all, we can't have any of it. Well, I mean, if you mean by we, the middle class and the lower class. The caviar and lark's vomit canapé crowd can have any damn thing they want. But we, middle class people... People whose parents and grandparents rely on Medicare or Medicaid, they can't have it. Can you imagine working your entire life hoping or trusting that there would be Medicare there for you at the end, only to get a little ignorant punk like George Bush in the White House who says, "Heh, my generation's been promised too much." He said that. He said that yesterday in Nashville. I'll be 62 in 2008, and I'll be ready for retirement age. And baby boomers who are retiring, we have been promised too much. Really. Really. Now, see, there's a little further proof that as with all members of this god-awful welfare family, the Bushes, there's a little further proof that they are utterly divorced from reality.
I've been promised too much.
You dumbass. It wasn't a promise. It's not a giveaway. These are things that were paid for with the labor and the sweat and the tears and the blood of working people across this nation.
My generation's been promised too much.
Oh, he was in full-bore, sarcastic, jackass mode yesterday in Nashville. For you country music fans, the Gatlin Brothers. Remember the Gatlin Brothers? He was so full-on, he felt comfortable insulting Larry Gatlin in Nashville, Tennessee. Somehow, well, I mean, granted, it was in front of an invited audience. Had to sign the loyalty oath, give the little Republican Party high sign, and the handshake. But still, oh my God, listen.
And I remember growing up in Midland. Gatlin grew up in Odessa, by the way, right down the road. Or the Gatlins did. It's, I was white collar, he's blue collar. Anyway,
I was white collar, he's
I'm
blue collar.
I'm president, he's a singer. Anyway,
be here all week.
Anyway, you can tell I like him because when I put the needle out, it's a sign of affection. Just don't give him the mic.
When I put the needle out, it's a sign of affection. I'm a student of vernacular English. When I put the needle out, the hell does that mean?
I grew up in Midland, and he grew up in Odessa. Gatlin did, or the Gatlins. I was white collar, he's blue collar.
Do we still draw that distinction in the United States? I mean, you understand what he means.
Yeah, that's rich. Yeah, he's working people. I'm white collar. He's white trash.
That's what that means. So, all of this garbage about we must make the tax cuts permanent. And immediately, the right-wing megaphone went into action. I've told you about the little press releases I get in my email, because I made my way onto some right-wing nut PR firm's mailing list. It wasn't hours after the State of the Union when I started getting emails about Democrats want to raise your taxes. Democrats want to raise your taxes. And I don't watch enough television to know. Shame on me. I guess I should just get on my anti-emetic drugs and sit there and watch the right-wing swill that flows through CNN and ABC and NBC and CBS and everything but Olbermann on MSNBC and God knows Fox. But it's already out there. We can't let them raise your taxes. Democrats want to raise taxes. Well, here's George Voinovich, and now he's not known for his democratic principles, and don't know that he's been to too many of our bean dinners. We have bean dinners. Republicans have, you know, steak fries. Senate Republican leaders want to move the bill into a conference committee where it could be combined in some fashion with a House version approved last year, the one I was talking about there. The White House and conservative Republicans back the House bill because it would extend through 2010 lower federal taxes on corporate dividends and capital gains. Those tax breaks are scheduled to expire at the end of 2008. The House also has approved a measure that would protect middle-income taxpayers from the alternative minimum tax. This has nothing to do with raising your taxes or my taxes. This has to do with protecting the tax status of Wilbur H. Ross, Jr. and his pals so that they can go and bottom feed on another bankrupt corporation and create another Sago disaster somewhere. Tax breaks on corporate dividends and tax breaks on capital gains. You know, you pay X for a piece of stock. Maybe I'm probably wasting my time because you already know this. You pay X for a piece of stock, and it appreciates X plus 15%. And you sell that stock at X plus 15%. Well, that 15% is taxable at a certain rate. And George Bush doesn't want anybody taxed on their profits from their stock speculation. Now, in this process, nobody, you know, the investor, he hasn't produced a good, he hasn't, sold a banana, he hasn't canned any beans, he hasn't built a car, he's just sat there and held a piece of stock, and for holding it, he has appreciated, the stock value has appreciated a certain percentage, and the rich think that they are entitled to live in this nation and not pay for the privilege? How many times do I have to listen to right-wing hate radio and wing nuts calling, you know, freedom is a privilege in America. We must support the troops. You want to support the troops, wing nuts? Pay your way. Tell your rich masters to pay their way. Voinovich is the reason the tax cuts on dividends and capital gains expire at the end of 2008. Credit where credit's due. When Republicans pushed those investment tax breaks through Congress in 2003 that we didn't need in the first place, they wanted them to last for 10 years, but Voinovich would only support the tax cuts on dividends and capital gains if they expired at the end of 2008, and in the closely divided Senate, he prevailed. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office last month concluded that the government would operate on a small surplus by 2012 if all the Bush tax cuts expire. On the other hand, if they are made permanent, we are screwed. It's that simple. We're screwed if George Bush gets his way. He'll be gone by the time the real nightmare of what his tax cuts have done to this country becomes apparent, he will be gone. This is kid in the candy shop politics. This, all that stupid talk about personal responsibility from the right wing, and everything George Bush is doing is the exact antithesis of personal responsibility. Nothing that he has done to America's future will come due on his watch. And he and his cronies just sit and giggle. And people like Shelley Moore put the shiv between the ribs of the American middle and lower classes, and then they talk about how we have to support the troops. Hell, she was called on to extend insurance coverage for families of National Guardsmen serving overseas, and she voted against it. But she's a good Christian. Sure she is. Like any member of Arch Moore's family, and it could ever be even remotely related to the message of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. I mean, you get all this, right? I don't have to worry about any of you voting, or me, us, we. We're not going to vote for some dead-from-the-neck-up Republican. But I have thought so much in the course of the last 24 hours about the conversation we had with our new friend Bonnie in Vermont. And changing the language and changing the frame and changing the paradigm and reaching across and trying to show people who have, you know, who've dropped a rock on their own feet and been glad about it by voting Republican. How do you reach across to those people? How do you explain to somebody who for three election cycles now has voted for Shelley Moore in West Virginia's 2nd Congressional District, how do you reach across to them and ask them, pretty please, as your fellow West Virginia, would you quit trying to screw me at the ballot box? Please. How do you do that? You know, pretty please, my children will be adults someday, and I'd like to have them pass on an America fit to live in to them. Would you please stop voting for these Republicans who hate our nation? See, I start thinking about how to reach across the aisle, and my problem is, I want to reach across the aisle, all right. Oh, God, I want to reach across the aisle with a Louisville Slugger. And I'm sorry I'm that way. But I love my country. I love what my country could be if only we would pursue dreams of justice and peace and mercy and decency. If we would pursue a vision of fair pay for a fair day's work. If we would pursue an economic policy that doesn't brag about creating a couple of million new bartending jobs. And yet there are millions of Americans who would look at, that's what we need, Bob. We need more bartending jobs because this is all pretty miserable and I think we're all going to be pretty liquored up pretty soon. Okay. If you've got an answer, I'd love to know it. Because I get flustered and I get flummoxed and I start wanting that Louisville Slugger. Shame on me. Really, shame on me. My mother would be so ashamed of me. God rest her soul. Gotta find a way to talk to these people. I just haven't figured out what that way is. If you've got the way, let me know. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. This is Head On, and well, I'm Bob Kincaid.
What are we waiting for? the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Sometimes I sit down and try to figure some people out. Why does anybody think that Fox News is really fair and balanced? Why do people give lots of money to Pat Robertson? Why do some people think that who wins the Super Bowl is more important than who's going to sit on the Supreme Court? I mean, I like football as much as the next guy, but let's get real here. And every time I try to think this through, I always come to the same conclusion. That these are just simple people who don't know or care about anything that goes on outside their own little worlds. You know, morons. And the Republicans, they play them like a banjo. They're not just counting on people being morons, they're banking on it. After all, people who are too stupid to know they're being scammed make the best targets. But as clever as the Republicans think they are, they can be just as moronic as their victims. If they were really smart, they'd be satisfied with a little less just to keep the scam going. But that never happens. They always wind up going too far and it all comes crashing down. And when it falls on all of us, whether we're scammers, victims, or just innocent bystanders. Of course, people have every right to be morons if they want to be. There's no law against it. But the difference between a liberal like me and the Republican scam artists running the country now is that I want them to be happy, prosperous morons. The Republicans want them to be poor, scared ones. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
It is. Checking the email during the break. And we're a single computer operation right now. so that means Agnes and I have to fight over the mouse. The Bush administration said today it will ask Congress for $120 billion more dollars for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and $18 billion more this year for hurricane relief. I'm up for the hurricane relief. Or at least I would be if it wasn't going to be thrown down a Halliburton rat hole. $120 billion more for war in Iraq and war in Afghanistan and, you know, maybe a little side order of war in Iran. $120 billion, and this darn fool wants to make the tax cuts permanent. Nobody's explained to him that you don't just call the Treasury and print more money, have they? I mean, this sucker's got a legacy MBA from Harvard, and he don't know where the money comes from. Comes from you and me. All that bug spray on the stump about, hey, it's your them taxes, it's your money. I want you to keep more of your money at home. Right, gotcha, sure, you betcha. This is the conduct of a drunk. This is the conduct of a junkie. He thinks if he asks for another $120 billion, he'll just get another... Oh, wait a minute, it's a Republican Congress. Oh, let's go to the phones. Our good friend Bob in Butler, PA is with us. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, brother.
I was trying to stay away for just one night.
Oh, don't do that.
You keep coming up with stuff, you know. Yeah, reaching across the aisle, smack him upside the head with a Louisville slugger. Yeah, I think we all feel like that.
But I know in my heart, Bob, that that's not the way to fix America.
Well, that's because you are not a Republican.
When the day comes and I stand before the pearly gates, I will be accused by St. Peter of many sins. One of them will not be voting Republican.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I, not to stretch the point too far out, or maybe it is stretching the point too far out, but I'm not a religious person, but I'm a spiritual person, and I think there's good, a good spirit.
Yeah.
And an evil spirit.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, and they're at war with each other, and the good spirit, I don't know how it's going to win.
We're losing right now, Bob. The good is losing.
Well, you know why? Because the evil spirit has more to work with. The evil spirit can play good for a while till it takes you in, and then pow! It's bad again. Well, but the good spirit can't do that. Good spirit can't just decide, oh, I think I'll be evil today just to trick them. No, we can't do that.
I've got, forgive me, Bob, I've got this, the people, yeah, I love cartoons. And I've got this vision of the evil of the devil Fred Flintstone and the angel Fred Flintstone on the shoulder, you know, and the devil Fred Flintstone always walks over to the angel one and just kind of flicks it and get out of here.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's simplistic, but that's what we're dealing with. I mean, and
yeah,
you talk.
I think the spirits themselves are a little more complex than that, and I think they free float around and they can come at you the way they come at me. You know, like I want to hit somebody over the head with a Louisville slugger too, and that's the evil spirit speaking. There it is. You know, now if I'm a good person, I'll say, oh, okay, that's the evil spirit, so you know, I'll just like not do that.
But boy, it sure would be fun. See, that's
sure. Oh yeah, evil's a lot of fun. I used to do that stuff, but you know, I've grown up.
Yeah, trying to get past it. Just trying to get past it.
Yeah, and there's really two parts to what. Another thing I was telling your wife. Another thing that upsets me is that every once in a while I'll hear people say, "Well, they're so dumb, or they're so smart, or well, I mean, there are smart people on both sides, but some of them are evil, and some are not."
Yeah, if you've got all the genius in the world, but you use it to evil, or to evil ends.
There you go. See, so it's really, there's really, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, there's two parts to it. There's how much brains you got. And then on the other side, there's how much heart do you have? how much heart and soul do you have? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know some really stupid people who, they have a lot of heart and soul, but they've been taken in.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not too bright.
There are, well, and I think I referenced it a couple of nights ago. There are people in this state, Bob, and you know, you're not far from West Virginia. You know what we're about.
Well, I live down in that area, and I've,
yeah.
For years and years up until recently, I was a caver and around the Friars Hill area.
Okay. Well, there are good people here. You know, they'll stop. They'll help you change your tire. They'll bring you a gallon of gas when you run out of gas on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I mean, in West Virginia, we still pull over to the side of the road for funeral processions. You know, the signs of respect and decency and common goodness. And they've been taken in by this manifest evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the whole business with the bird commercials telling West Virginians to tell Bird to vote like a West Virginian and not with those evil liberals like Ted Kennedy, that's evil. When you have to divide people in order to succeed, you know you are doing the work of the dark side.
Yeah, and I don't think all of them care whether they're doing the evil, the work of the dark side. I don't think some of them care, but you know, it's not simple. It really is not simple, and they love to make it simple, but it's not. And
well, that's where we get in trouble as liberals and progressives, Bob, because the other side, everything's either black or it's white.
You're either with me or against me.
And we see 99 million shades of gray,
mm-hmm.
and we gotta process it, and we gotta work through it. And I think that's one of those places where we stub our toe.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I see stuff that's red and green and blue and yellow and you know that it really is not, you know, like okay. A hot dog. A hot dog's really neither good nor bad.
Never seen one made?
Intrinsically. Well, okay. So a potato chip, okay? A potato. It's, you know, it's neither good nor bad intrinsically as it stands on its own, you know. And if you eat it, well, it's good because it gives you nutrition.
But it's bad because it clogs you.
If it's dumped on your head, it's bad.
Yeah, right. Sure.
So there you go. You know, there's a ton of stuff that falls in the middle there that's neither good nor bad, but you know, we're dealing with stuff that is good and is bad.
Yeah, good things used to bad ends. You take people's passions for goodness and right, and you tell them that, well, I'm on the side of goodness and right and light, and here's what you got to do with if you're good and right and light, you got to hate people because of how they have sex.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also I don't believe Bush believes that we're in the end times. I don't think he and his buddies would be chasing after oil money and this and that and the other thing if they really believed they were in the end times, because that whole thought process has to do with being good and whether you're going to go to heaven or not.
Well, but then again, how, you know, it's like the line from the old Don Henley song about a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. How many times have you seen W stick, you know, or not W stickers, but the fish, you know, the fish magnet?
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you seen one of those on a Mercedes-Benz or a real upscale Caddy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, speaking of stickers, about a year ago, a friend of mine who goes down into your area quite frequently, just below Lewisburg, and he does a lot of community outreach for the cavers, and he told us all, he said, look, get those bat stickers off of your cars. These people think it's evil. Coming down the road.
Oh no!
So if you see a yellow sticker
with a bat,
with a black bat,
I've seen them.
That's a caver.
Sure, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, oh, brother.
But yeah, he says you have to be sensitive to the people who, you know, who you're treading on their land. You know.
Yeah.
Treading on their land. You're asking them permission to come on their land, and you got a bat sticker on your car.
And they think you're saying black masses down in a...
Oh, or, yeah, something like that.
Sacrificing virgins or
whatever,
something.
Whatever, you know. I mean, they don't know what it is.
Oh, mercy. So, you know, and these are the same people that take up serpents.
I suppose...
Golly, Moses.
You know, I don't know.
Hey, Bob, so good to hear from you.
Okay.
You take it easy, brother.
Later.
Later. And Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on, man.
Hey, buddy, what are you doing?
You know, getting through another one.
Okay.
Celebrating an anniversary.
2 years.
Yeah.
All right, man, congratulations.
That's right.
Congratulations. It'll only get better from here.
Yeah, you know, Radio Free West Virginia.
Hey, there you go, man. I don't know, man, you've been watching the news?
Not since about 5 o'clock.
Well, you know, now we got a boner in the house. That's all we need is another big, well, you know.
Well, you know, it was a boner or a blunt, you know. Right.
Yeah, I don't know, you know. Maybe we ended up bigger with the boner. I don't
know.
Well,
did you, but with the business, the way they selected it, did you follow any of that?
Yeah.
They screwed up their first ballot.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
somebody suggested online they call Catherine Harris to see if she could straighten it out.
But it turns out, you know, it just gets, I mean, this is one of those that just gets better and better and better. It turns out they didn't really have more votes than there should have been. It wasn't really Ohio and Florida.
They didn't know the rules. That's a, yeah.
No, they didn't count the Puerto Rican.
Well, you can't count them except in a majority leader vote, right?
Right.
I mean, he doesn't have a vote except in this instance.
How delightful, how typical, how perfect that the Republican Party would fail to count the Puerto Rican.
Isn't that amazing? I don't know. Maybe it's time for a West Side Story to come back.
You break into a rendition of Maria and you're out of here, man.
Well, I could, you know.
I know. No show tunes.
Oh, God. But, I mean, that Shelley Moore Capital thing, oh, my God. I was looking all over, you know, to try. I'm trying to figure out. When I saw the vote, I'm going, well, how did Capitol vote, you know?
Yeah.
And then, well, I got that thing from AFL-CIO, too. And,
right.
You know, surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, she's right in, well, aren't there two? There's two people running against her, is there not?
Technically, yeah. I guess there's two people running for the Democratic nomination in the primary, and that would be Mike Callahan and Richie Robb.
Okay, exactly. That's what I meant.
Now that the part about Richie Robb, I haven't seen anything formal on that, but you know, I'm willing to believe it.
Well, there was an article in the paper that he.
Oh well, okay. You saw the okay.
Yeah, there's a quote by him, you know, and he's a pretty impressive guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's got some guts anyway. I mean, he finally realized he was a Democrat.
Well, he's been one all along.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. He finally realized, you know, it was, you know, I don't know. Maybe he was in a situation where you had to be a Republican to win that seat there. I don't know. What's he, South Charles?
Yeah, mayor of South Charles in West Virginia.
He's been there forever, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But for everybody listening, you know, nationwide, this is the guy that was going to use his electoral vote to vote for Kerry.
Yeah, if there was any way that it came down to one vote, and he was one of our electors from West Virginia in 2004, if it came down to one vote, he said, I will cast my electoral vote for John Kerry.
Yes, as a Republican.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
And so he switched parties, and you know, I'm wondering, he might be a pretty good guy in Congress.
Well, I think he would. Seems to me. I don't know. I kind of lean towards him in the primary, but you know, well,
I'm trying. Yeah, I'm just trying to.
It's early yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's early yet, but I mean, to have that vote and cut $40 billion from entitlement programs, and at the same time ask for another $120 billion for your war that you lied us into.
Yeah.
You know, which, and how's Shelley going to vote on that one?
Well, you know,
how's all these, fiscal conservatives going to vote on that one?
Well, knee pads make a hell of a difference,
yeah,
Wayne.
Yeah, ain't lying. You're not lying.
Well, that's the other half of the two stories I printed during the break. Bush wants $120 million. And also coming out from Channel 4 in London.
Uh-huh.
Channel 4 News tonight reveals extraordinary detail. Remember the Downing Street memo?
I do.
And how, that's just a bunch of hooey. That never happened. Liberal conspiracy theory. Remember all that?
Yes, I do.
Channel 4 News tonight reveals extraordinary details of George Bush and Tony Blair's pre-war meeting in January 2003, at which they discussed plans to begin military action on March 10, 2003, irrespective of whether the United Nations had passed a new resolution authorizing the use of force. Can we impeach the bastard now, Wayne?
I'm all for it. And, I mean, why would anybody think they'd have to listen to the UN, too? I mean, Bush doesn't even have to obey American laws.
Bush can't spell UN.
No, he can't. Oh, God. I'll tell you.
This is dated this evening, Wayne. Channel 4 News has seen minutes from that meeting, which took place in the White House on 31 January 2003, the two leaders discussed the possibility of securing further UN support, but President Bush made it clear that he had already decided to go to war.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That shouldn't surprise anybody.
Well,
knew
it.
Yes, we knew it. And, these people are so good. How many times have we talked about the Project for a New American Century?
Right.
And in 1998, these people were writing letters to Clinton, let's evade Iraq.
If it wasn't 95.
It may have been. But for a long time, that has been the plan.
Sure.
And, it is right in the documents. You could go look at it. It says a mission statement or whatever the hell you want to call it.
The executive summary.
Right. All we need. That they wanted to do all these things, and all they needed was another Pearl Harbor. And they got that on September 11th, buddy.
As far as I'm concerned, the debate is still open as whether they got it or bought it.
Well, the debate is open on that. It's open in my mind, of course.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of radical...
Moonbat, conspiracy theorists, liberals.
Exactly.
Yeah, commies.
Exactly. But these people are... Well, you said it before. If they weren't so scary, they'd be funny. But I don't know.
I read this story, and I just I said, Agnes, oh, my God, look at this. Because it's all context, Wayne. It's all context. This story, I won't get over what they did to Cindy Sheehan at the State of the Union. They dragged that woman out for wearing a T-shirt with a number on it.
Right, and the Republican people had support the war T-shirts on or something, didn't they?
Yeah, support the troops.
Support the troops.
Yeah, support the troops. You get gently escorted out and asked very politely, to leave.
Right, and, when was it last year at the State of the Union address? How about everybody with all the little purple fun pins?
The purple Band-Aids? The purple heart Band-Aids?
No. Oh. The purple thumb,
Yeah.
How about that? That was okay.
Yeah.
That was acceptable.
Oh, we can have all kinds of demonstrations as long as they're in favor of this guy we're going to find a quote.
Yeah.
We're going to find a quote from Bush that is after 31 January 2003 where he says, I have not yet decided to go to war. War is the last option. But, is the liberal media, Wayne, is the liberal media gonna play that in an endless, endless loop like they did Bill Clinton kissing Monica at the rope line and standing there, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Are they gonna do that? No.
No.
I mean, I've got a soundbite on the desktop of the production computer here of George Bush saying, now, if we wanted wiretap, we'd have to get a warrant. It's in the Constitution. That's gone. It's down the memory hole. It's over. It's done.
And they were doing it at the time he said that.
Yeah. Are people overthinking this, Wayne? I mean, is it too simple to be comprehended? The darn fool told a lie, and 2,245 plus American service personnel are dead.
He's been lying since day one. since day one.
I'm guessing he's been lying since he learned to talk.
I would say that. Right, you know, that's probably pretty close.
You know, Sonny, did you stick an M80 up that frog's butt and light it and throw it up in the air and watch it go pop? No, Mom.
One me. I don't know. You know, hopefully, you know, at some point, well, you know, I have hope. And I think this, you know, election coming up is very important. I think we do have a very good chance of taking back the House, if not the Senate. And, you know, people just got to keep watching and looking what these people are doing. We can't, I mean, they're cutting students, you know, this.
They're cutting America's throat, Wayne.
They're cutting America's throat. That's exactly what they're doing. There's too many things to even mention. Think of all the billion. Well, okay, now with this other $120 billion, now we're getting real close to $500 billion.
We're there.
Okay.
This will be way the hell over $500 billion.
And our ports aren't secure. Our nuclear plants aren't secure. New Orleans is still in a mess. We have no plan for energy independence.
But we do have Halliburton contracts to build concentration camps.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We've got that. And we do have plans for a uniformed Secret Service Stasi division.
Yes. And then I found out today that I thought that woman from the Nixon era died. Who was that one that leaned across the thing and deleted some of the tape?
Oh, Rosemary Woods?
Yeah, well, she's back because she deleted a bunch of emails.
Yeah, I saw that.
Or maybe she's a ghost, you know?
No, you know, it kind of makes me... I saw that story, Wayne, and the first thing that hit me is I kind of regret the computer era. We wouldn't be doing this without the internet and the computers, but I kind of regret the computer era because Rosemary Woods really had to work to create that 18-minute gap in Nixon's tapes. And
well, she gives some kind of demonstration. I mean, her arm had to grow about 9 inches or something.
Right.
On one of her legs.
Well, and what's her name? That girl that was Ollie North's secretary or whatever.
Real good-looking woman.
Yeah, she had to slave over a hot shredder for like 2 solid days to cover Ollie's ass.
What was her name? Fawn Hall. Fawn Hall. Yeah.
She had to slave over a hot shredder. But no, some
foxy looking woman.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Hey,
evil, but fun.
Focus,
you know.
Focus,
huh?
Focus.
She was good looking, Bob. What could I say? I mean, that don't make her a nice person.
But in Bushmerica, all you got to do is punch a button, and then you send the memo to Patrick Fitzgerald saying, "I'll be damned." It somehow or another, those emails just didn't get archived.
Yeah, well, and that's. But, I mean, that's a couple days after one of the prosecutors for the Abramoff thing suddenly got a judgeship.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I wonder how that happened. You know, how long has he been on the list? Probably shortly after he took that prosecutorship. Oh, man. And the American people are just standing there going, oh, he's such a godly man.
Oh, man. It really makes you want to just jump right off the wagon and start drinking it. It really does.
Well,
he's such a godly man.
I have the solution to that. Don't ever get on the damn wagon. You know? Why make a fool of yourself?
You're the kind of man that would open a bar next to AA and offer free beer with your 20-year chip.
Those people need help.
Oh, Wayne, we got to get out of here. Thanks for the laugh.
Congratulations on the 2 years, man. I hope you got many, many more, brother.
Let's hope so. It's the only thing that keeps me sane.
Me too. Listen, if I wasn't able to listen to you every day and catch some of Randy Rhodes or something, I would go insane.
I know the
feeling. Of course, a lot of people think I am already, but the hell do they know?
Yeah, that's right. Take it easy, Wayne.
All right, buddy.
Later.
Bye.
All right, a few minutes of music. I got to get ice for the root beer. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
He never fought in a war, but he learned to smile. out in their limousine. So wave the flag and take a stand. Stand in line and shake his hand. He says he's your friend, a friend of the common. Wave the flag and take a stand. Stand in line and shake his hand. He says he's your friend, a friend of the common. What we deserve. So wave the flag and take a stand. Stand in line to shake his hand. He says he's your friend, a friend of the common man.
Fact.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right. Yeah, 52 or 3 minutes left if you want to get your licks in. I got a few left to get in. You heard the phone number there, 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, Head On. And, of course, email's just so easy. Bob@headonradio.com. A couple of things. Loved that call with Wayne, and the one before it with Bob. Great little pick-me-up. And a couple of things were brought to mind out of all of that. Just fleshing things out a little bit more for you, this story coming out of Channel 4 London. President Bush said that, quote, the U.S. would put its full weight behind efforts to get another resolution and would twist arms and even threaten. But he had to say that if ultimately we failed, military action would follow anyway. That's what is coming out now. As of January 2003. Do you remember, or is it just too far gone down the memory hole? Do you remember all the talk about war should always be our last option? But of course, if you remember what was his name? See, it's gone again. The first treasurer of the Bush administration, Paul O'Neill. He said he couldn't get a meeting with George Bush in January of 2001 because they were too damn busy trying to figure out how to have a war with Iraq. And everybody said, he's just bitter. He's a liar. He's lying. And then Richard Clark came out and said that he repeatedly begged for a national security meeting on the threat from Al-Qaeda, and all he could hear was trying to come up with a reason to go to war with Iraq. And after 9/11, he came back and said, Mr. President, this had nothing to do with Iraq. And George Bush looked at him and said, look a little harder. You got to find something to do with Iraq. We're going to have a war with Iraq. And the evidence mounts, and the evidence mounts, and the evidence mounts, and the evidence mounts. If this was a court case, and someone was doing the closing arguments, they would say something to a jury along the lines of, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in order to believe the defendant, George W. Bush, you have to swear that your own ears and your own eyes have been lying to you. Because time after time after time after time, and witness after witness after witness after witness, have told you and told you and told you and told you exactly what the crimes are that were committed by this awful, hateful, bug-eyed, beady-eyed, jug-eared little man. And thus far, the jury that is the American body politic, the jury that is the American electorate, has said, my eyes were lying to me, and so were my ears. But that's not entirely true. That's not entirely true. Because what, 61% now say he's doing a lousy job? And a long time ago in a Zogby poll, 51% of the American people, or perhaps more if I recall incorrectly, said that if George Bush lied to get us into a war in Iraq, he should be impeached. We are going to reach a point in time in this nation that will be the exact opposite of the Bill Clinton issues. Regardless, 60-70% of the American people said, leave our president alone. What he did was his business and none of the Republican parties. And still, the Republican majorities in the House forged on. And spent $70 million of your money because Bill Clinton got oral sex. It boggles the mind. Now, we're in opposite world. A Republican is in office, and that same Republican majority in the House that could not be held back, yea, verily, not even by the will of 70% of the American people, that could not be held back from impeachment, cannot be compelled into it when the crimes committed by the man who deserves the impeachment this time around, when the crimes that he has committed have resulted in the death of over 100,000 innocent civilians in Iraq, the practical annihilation of the entire Christian community in Iraq, and have resulted in the deaths of 2,245 and counting American service personnel, and 15 to 20 and yea, perhaps 30,000 tormented, tortured, maimed, and mutilated, wounded American service personnel. And that good-for-nothing, waste of time, money, and effort, Republican House of Representatives cannot be moved to do that which is necessary for the salvation of this republic. They cannot be moved. Oh, they can be moved to cut Medicaid, and they can be moved to cut Medicare, and they can be moved to cut student loans, and they can be moved to eliminate funding for child support enforcement. They can be moved for all that, but honest to God, dynamite itself would not move them to impeach a Republican president who is the greatest violator of constitutional principles, not since Richard Nixon, but rather since the inception of this republic. Do you remember the guy that they started calling the Marlboro Man? Do you remember him? It was during the Battle of Fallujah, and a Reuters or an AP, somebody, a photographer, got a shot of him, battle-weary, with a Marlboro Red hanging off of his lip and covered in grime and gore, with that 50-mile stare. You remember that photograph? He's home now. He's home now because he was discharged from the Marines. He was discharged from the Marines because his post-traumatic stress disorder is so bad that Marine Corps psychiatrists and psychologists determined that he would be a threat to both himself and others if he were returned to duty. Now that's fancy medico speak for the fact that they determined if they did not get him out of the Marine Corps day before yesterday, double quick, if they didn't get him out of the Corps, he was going to kill someone or get someone killed or kill himself. And he's home, and he has had to struggle to get his benefits, to get treatment for his post-traumatic stress disorder, and guess what? Now he says, well, he said when he was over there that he was, and I'm, these are my words, that he was more or less brainwashed. That he said, hoo-ah, yes, sir, snapped a salute, and went and did anything they told him to do, no matter how heinous or horrific. But that now, looking back on it, he realizes that we have no business in Iraq. And I've heard that time and time again from returning veterans from Iraq. We have no business there. In this particular interview, he said, it's like if a gang from Iraq, how did he put it? I'm operating from memory here. He said it would be as if a gang from Iraq came and that gang attacked us in New York and we slaughtered the whole country for it. Well, of course, Iraq didn't have a damned thing to do, not even a little bitty bit, with September 11th, 2001. Not even a little bit. But we have gone, and we are killing Iraq wholesale. They are down to the point now that they are begging us. They are begging us to please establish a timetable to withdraw from their country so that they can begin to heal the hell and anguish and damnation that we have caused in their country. They now, by more than half, agree that it's okay to kill American soldiers if that convinces us to get the hell out of their country. Because at this point, it seems that asking nicely won't do the job. They want a timetable. They want to know the day when there will be no more infidel Americans on their soil. And George Bush, that man of such tremendous pride, that man of such tremendous hubris, George Bush says, "We won't give a timetable, because if we give a timetable, that only emboldens the terrorists." Oddly enough, it turns out, in the news today, there's a reason that Republicans and conservatives are the way they are. Actually, it's a couple of days old, this story. It's from January 30th. It's from Monday. Headline from the Washington Post. Study ties political leanings to hidden biases. Put a group of people together at a party and observe how they behave. Differently than when they are alone? Differently than when they are with family? What if they're in a stadium instead of at a party? What if they're all men? The field of social psychology has long been focused on how social environments affect the way people behave, but social psychologists are people too, and as the United States has become increasingly politically polarized, they have grown increasingly interested in examining what drives these sharp divides. Red states versus blue states, pro-Iraq war versus anti-Iraq war, pro-same-sex marriage versus anti-same-sex marriage. And they have begun to study political behavior using such specialized tools as sophisticated psychological tests and brain scans. In my own family, for example, there are stark differences, not just of opinion, but of very profound differences in how we view the world, said Brenda Major, a psychologist at the University of California at Santa Barbara and the president of the Society for Personality and Social Psychology, which had a conference last week that showcased several provocative psychological studies about the nature of political belief. The new interest has yielded some results that will themselves provoke partisan reactions. Pay attention. Studies presented at the conference, for example, produced evidence that emotions and implicit assumptions often influence why people choose their political affiliations, and that partisans stubbornly discount any information that challenges their pre-existing beliefs. Emory University psychologist Drew Weston put self-identified Democratic and Republican partisans in brain scanners and asked them to evaluate negative information about various candidates. Both groups were quick to spot inconsistency and hypocrisy, but only in candidates they opposed. When presented with negative information about the candidates they liked, partisans of all stripes found ways to discount it, Weston said. Another study presented at the conference, which was in Palm Springs, California, wait for it, explored relationships between racial bias and political affiliation by analyzing self-reported beliefs, voting patterns, and the results of psychological tests that measure implicit attitudes, subtle stereotypes people hold about various groups. This must be science night on Head On. That study found that supporters... This is not going to come as any kind of a surprise to the liberals and the progressives and the decent human beings, the patriotic Americans. The study found that supporters of President Bush and other conservatives had stronger self-admitted and implicit biases against blacks than liberals did. Quote, what automatic biases reveal is that while we have the feeling we are living up to our values, that feeling may not be right, said University of Virginia psychologist Brian Nosek, who helped conduct the race analysis. Quote, we are not aware of everything that causes our behavior, even things in our own lives. How many times have I said on this program that Republicans are inherently racist? And I've given you proof after proof after proof after proof. They are. They are racists. You want the proof of how racist they are? This story hit the wires, and a right-wing talk freak in, I think, what, San Diego, named Rick Roberts? He immediately put a picture of George Bush up that had been photoshopped to make him a Negro on his website. Curly hair, brown skin. And I think it even had a little balloon that said, oh, I hate myself, or something like that. Can't remember that part. Time after time, I have pointed out evidence of what a gang of bigoted thugs the Republican Party are. And here is the scientific proof. Now, here's the, now that, you know, this isn't just made up. It took 130,000 white people to do this study. They examined the self-acknowledged views. These are people answering questions about what they believe and what they think on a racial basis from 130,000 white people. And they volunteered to participate in a widely used test of racial bias that measures the speed of people's associations between black or white faces and positive or negative words. And they did this for all 435 congressional districts. My God. And Coretta Scott King checked out on the day that Samuel Alito became a justice of the Supreme Court. And sad it is, funeral plans are being announced for Mrs. King. But once again, this is a case of me being ahead of the curve. I don't mean to, but I just notice things, and maybe I'm noticing them before they hit the mainstream, but you heard me sometimes say a couple of weeks ago, and then again night before last, similar to this, an article by Norman Solomon, Perspective at Truth Out. Now that Dr. King's widow is no longer alive, the smarmy process will be even easier. Just praise Dr. King as a beloved civil rights leader, as though the last few years of his life, filled with struggles for economic justice and peace, didn't exist. Ignore King's profound challenge to the kind of budget priorities and militarism holding sway today. On Tuesday night, the president was eager to seem like a fervent admirer of Martin Luther King, but the next day, in the same House chamber where Bush spoke, his administration pushed through a vicious budget measure that will slash $39 billion in spending, mostly for student loans and Medicaid for the poor, over the next 5 years. Nearly 38 years ago, Dr. King was killed in Memphis while leading the Poor People's Campaign for an Economic Bill of Rights. He'd been accusing Congress of hostility to the poor. This is what he said. The federal government, King pointed out, was appropriating, quote, military funds with alacrity and generosity, but poverty funds with miserliness. And today, a slick rhetorical formula enables current generations of such miserly politicians to keep praising the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. while sticking knives into it. I mean, you could hear it Tuesday night in the State of the Union speech. And you know it's how Republicans talk when they're amongst themselves. He was an inspiring Negro, wasn't he? And that's all he was to them. But, you know, it's worth remembering that when he was killed by only God knows whom, he was working for workers' rights. He was one of those labor agitators that the Republicans hate so much. Maybe, you know, maybe in the face of all the filth and hate spewing out of Dear Leader's administration, we can finally start working to bring Dr. King's vision, what he called his dream, to fruition and take him out of his ghetto that the Republicans, the racist Republicans, scientifically proven racist Republicans, have put him into or tried to. Are you surprised that science would verify what so many of us liberals and progressives have known all along? Liberals, progressives, decent people, intelligent people, we're the people who understand science, and we can spot bigotry a mile away. And it's there in all its hateful display. Every time two Republicans gather together unto themselves, it's there in their voting, it is there in their contemplations, it is there in their social policy, it is there in their economic policy, it is there in their manifest willingness to kill anything that gets in their way. There are racists and bigots among us, and they fall under the broad general heading of the Republican Party, and they are driven by the Republican National Committee. And they are the shame of this nation, and they are the torment of the soul of Martin Luther King, Jr. And they were the torment of the soul of Coretta Scott King. And they were, their spirits were in the dogs and the water hoses turned by Bull Connor on people who just wanted to be treated like human beings in Birmingham. And their soul was in the truncheon-wielding police at the Edmund Pettus Bridge. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Emotion. Feeling. downhill to the end of tonight's show. To the end of our second anniversary. It still blows my mind. With the exception of a 3-month hiatus, we've been at this for 2 solid years. And we're making a difference. Backing up just a minute to the confirmation. I mean, this is not news, okay? There's nothing news about this. The confirmation that Republicans are godless, stinking, hateful, bigoted racists.
Brian Jones, a spokesman for the Republican National Committee, said he disagreed with the study's conclusions. And you know why he disagreed with the study's conclusions? He said that the people who wrote the study weren't Republicans. How can you say that Republicans are racists if you're not a Republican? You haven't been at the meetings. You didn't learn the lodge sign. You don't even know the handshake. You can't know what we talk about in our tent.
John Krosnick, a psychologist and political scientist at Stanford University. Liberal! Who independently assessed the studies, said it remains to be seen how significant the correlation is between racial bias and political affiliation. I don't know what that means unless what he means by that is, by significance, how many Klan rallies you would be willing to attend in a year if you're a Republican. For example, he said the study could not tell whether racial bias was a better predictor of voting preference than, say, policy preferences on gun control or abortion. Memo to Dr. Krosnick, buddy, there is an element of racism in everything a Republican does. When a Republican says he's for gun control because he's worried that someday the Negroes are going to come after him. When he says he's against abortion, he's against abortion of everybody but the black babies because Bill Bennett told us so, okay? Race dictates Republican behavior. Why is this a surprise? Why did this cause a hissy among right-wing hate talkers? Why did it? My God, have we forgotten what George Bush's campaign? Have we forgotten what Karl Rove did to John McCain? Now, never mind the fact that John McCain showed himself to be a spineless, wimp, coward loser by hugging him and grasping him and becoming his honorary campaign chairman secret decoder ring keeper during the 2004 cycle. But do we remember what happened in South Carolina? Do we remember the push polling that went on where people picked up the phone only to hear a message saying, "You do know that John McCain has a nigra baby, don't you?" Do we remember that? Sure we do.
And how many people in Florida still cannot vote due to the mess up that they had?
Mess up my left hind foot, dear.
Exactly. Take a look at who's not able to vote. Wonder who the majority is.
Well, while those issues would be addressed in subsequent studies, Krosnick plans to get random groups of future voters to take the psychological tests and discuss their policy preferences. He said the basic correlation was not in doubt. Quote, "If anyone in Washington is skeptical about these findings, they are in denial. We have 50 years of evidence that racial prejudice predicts voting. Republicans are supported by whites with prejudice against blacks. If people say, that takes me aback, they are ignoring a huge volume of research." The modern Democratic Party, for God's sakes, was born in the crucible of the fight for civil rights. When the Strom Thurmonds stood up and said, "I won't stay in this here party if and y'all's is going to let the niggers vote and swim in our swimming pools." And he left. And ran for president in 1948. And 50 freaking years later, Trent Lott
At that time, the majority leader of the United States Senate stands up at the 100th damn birthday party of that hateful old race-baiting demon Strom Thurmond and says, "Well, America sure would be a much better nation if everybody would have voted for Brother Strom back when he ran for president in 1948 when he said he wanted to keep the black chillens out of our swimming pools."
They weren't out of his gene pool, though.
Well, it's a shallow gene pool, the gene pool that most Republicans come from. How do you like the bigotry, boys? Shooting it right back at 'em. You know, how would... Well, never mind, that's philosophical hootenanny. But how can there be any doubt? What Mr. Krosnick says is true. There's 50 years of empirical data that racists gravitate to the Republican Party. Hard-working Republicans are hand-in-hand in a number of states, and they did so in Texas, hand-in-hand with the Klan on gay marriage ballot initiatives. There need to, but we don't, you know, of course we don't have the money, but there, in these states with these gay ballot initiatives, there need to be signs on by the side of the road. Will you vote with the Republicans and the Ku Klux Klan, or will you vote with the Constitution of the United States? Is there anybody out there that thinks the Klan votes Democrat? They don't. They are the shock troops and the foot soldiers of the Republican war on family values. That is all they are. And it's plenty simple. And the bigotry. Here, let's have some more bigotry. Why not? Let's finish Thursday night with some damn bigotry. Dateline, Bedford, New Bedford, Massachusetts. Police on Thursday are seeking a man in connection with gun and hatchet attacks overnight at a gay bar. Three people were wounded. Suspect Jacob D. Robita, 18 years old, of New Bedford, violent, armed, and dangerous, wanted on suspicion of three counts of attempted murder and hate crimes.
See, you shouldn't charge him with hate crimes. Just charge him with hitting somebody with that damn hatchet.
He went into a gay bar looking to kill people. He walked over to someone at a pool table and pulled a hatchet out of his jacket and started chopping at the top of their heads. He just turned 18. Wonder which way he's going to register to vote, sunshine. Spike is with us, calling from Easton, PA. Hey, Spike, you're head on.
Hey, guns are greeting, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good, I guess.
It was kind of funny, too, the last election. Not only, you know, they not only just the independent movement amongst the progressives or liberals out there with your greens and things like that, but certainly in the right side of the page, the Constitution Party, and I disagree with them a lot on a lot of issues, but then again, they also have to be against the war for some reason.
Well, the other problem with a third party, Spike, is focus and direction. If you really want to make a third party grow, you're never going to make it grow by running people for Congress and running people for president. You want to succeed as a third party, you become
local.
You got to go real low down local. You got to be a Green Party representative on the county commission. You got to be Green Party on the city council. You got to be a Green mayor. And then work up to the state legislatures. I think we had this conversation last night with maybe I forget who, but you don't build pyramids from the top down.
No. Yeah, and
so you're a young guy, Spike. I encourage you to get busy, get inspired, get active, get out there, and talk about your ideas. You've got progressive views. You've got a progressive liberal vision, and it is that vision, whether it be from a green standpoint or from the Democratic Party, that is the vision that is going to change America if America can be changed and saved.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, both parties are decadent and depraved, to say the least, and both sides need to reform severely, and so I really do hope that there is change. But like I said, in a way, I kind of just I also wish that states worked more in a parliamentary government fashion.
Well, yeah, and that's something, you know, the only cure for that spike is a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, which, of course, is almost impossible to make happen.
Well, yeah, and, well, not for the least reason among which, because, well, heavens to Betsy, there's not even a word about parties in Article 1, 2, or 3 of the Constitution.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up with the DLC Democrats, and I mean, it's such a pay-to-play system. It's so corrupt. It's so against the working class in this country.
Well, I'll tell you the other possibility, Spike, and I don't know if this is being used or being pushed at all in PA. But we've got a movement for it here in West Virginia and in a number of other states. Look at the clean elections issue. The other buzzword for it is public financing of campaigns.
Oh yeah.
You get that, and you can be any kind of Democrat you want to be.
Yeah. Well, real quick, I'll tell you that's an absolute great point. It's not really being pushed yet up here in the Commonwealth, but a great example is Bob Casey Jr. Bob Casey Jr. has all the money in the world because he's a corporatist.
Yeah.
And actually, he's Rick Santorum light. I mean, this guy's going to reflect Rick Santorum in almost every way other than the fact maybe he won't bring a miscarriage fetus home. And he might even do that. I don't know. I mean, he is almost a mirror image. His old man was really not a very liberal guy in the Democratic
Party. I don't think you can say liberal and Casey in the same sentence.
No. I mean, we don't really elect liberals in this state. At best, we elect libertarians like Ed Rendell.
Yeah.
I mean, and keep in mind, this is a state where the Republicans basically run the majority of the counties. And by the way, our wine and spirit shops are state-run shops with state employees running them, which is kind of communism.
Oh, I've been to weddings and stuff up in Pennsylvania, Spike, and you know, somebody said, "Hey, let's go get a six pack."
Well, yeah, you can't.
You can't. I mean,
unless you get it from a bar or a pizza place, and there it's like about $7.
Right. You know, it's craziness.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the religious right here. I mean, you for the longest time until recently, at Ed and Red Valley, you couldn't buy liquor or cases of go to beer distributors on Sundays because the liquor and beer distributors would be closed every Sunday, you know, because it's a holy day. And that's only recently coming to an end. Ironically, also, Pennsylvania, and of course now I'm going to go out on a low note here almost, but Pennsylvania, less than a decade ago, just finally passed an anti-bestiality law. So there's a lot of things that we're very behind the rest of the country.
Well, you know, I guess what, Washington State still doesn't have one?
Yeah, there's a few states that don't have
one. Well, I mean, the most covered story in the history of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer was a bestiality story last year. What does that say? Let's
with
leave
the horse.
Hey, yeah. Spike, we got to get out of here. Thanks for the conversation. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Hey, no problem. Thank you there very much.
Take care. That's our buddy Spike from Easton, PA. One of my best friends is also from Easton. Home of Larry Holmes. Great boxer. Well, that's it for tonight. Thanks, everybody, for your time and for your ideas, your emails, your phone calls. It makes this, on this second anniversary of Head On, it makes it the best. I got the best job in America. I really do, because I get to talk to cool, inspired, intelligent people for 3 hours a night. What a blessing it is. The show, of course, tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Engineered, our studio was by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages our stream as well as the archives of this program and many, many other fine liberal talk programs. I consider Ben the hardest working man in liberal talk. And he does it all without ever sending a bill. He's got a fundraising drive going on. Do the right thing by Ben. The show is brought to you tonight, of course, by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they are building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.